Kaylee brings the youthful spirit to our speaker corps. She has been studying since she was a teenager, and she has a wisdom far beyond her years. She's younger than I was when I first discovered science of mind, lo, those many years ago in the 80s. So I'm just grateful that Kaylee is bringing the light to us and shining so brightly for us. So here's Kaylee.
That is so sweet. Thank you, thank you, thank you. What an introduction. Thank you so much. Hello, everybody. Happy Easter. And in general, just happy day of new beginnings. If you don't necessarily subscribe to the religious aspect, happy day of reawakening. Reawakening, let's call it. It's a nice celebration. It's a very nice celebration. Okay. I said this before. I said this a couple times, I think. Sometimes I read a chapter and I just am kind of like, okay, I don't completely vibe with it. And that's okay. Again, anything you study, anything you are a part of, it's always good to think and meditate on things and wonder about things and take what resonates and leave what doesn't. So the reason I sort of was thinking maybe a bit not critically, but just some points about this chapter that I was like, I come back to a quote from Rhonda Byrne's DVD of The Secret, which was the first thing I watched about the law of attraction back when I was 14. And there's a doctor, and forgive me, I can't remember his name. There's a doctor in that documentary, and he says a quote that I reference often, which is, all forms of medicine have their place. And I come to this because while I do think that working with God and positive thinking and affirmative thinking and prayer certainly do play a role, I do think there are aspects of people's personalities and parts of just the brain that need a psychiatric or a psychological or a therapeutic approach. And so I just want to start with that, with, I'm not going to sit here and I'm not going to tell someone with severe depression or someone dealing with very intense mental illness, just affirmative pray it away. Because sometimes when you're in the depth of that, it's hard. It's really rough. And so I want to start by saying, again, I'm going to quote, all forms of medicine have their place and their use and their beautiful benefits. And so if someone is sitting here and is really suffering from a rough time, I'm going to be honest and say, if you need to, please seek out, the right resources of therapy and a doctor. We live in an age where we have wonderful things and resources and medications that help and different forms of therapy. And so I do want to say, don't ignore that. Don't fully go to one side and ignore the other. I think everything can be used and can be helpful in its way. So I did want to start with that because that really did absolutely. It was on my mind reading this chapter and thinking about this talk. I just wanted to mention that. Because I do think, there are parts of the human existence that are very rough and heavy and can benefit from the beauty of science and modern medicine and what we've worked with. So I did want to address that. I did want to bring that up and state that. And so with that said, this chapter is Holmes really talking about, honestly, the importance of, gosh, if you get down to it, it's basically just talking about a good attitude, right? He talks about the PQ, right? Personality quotient instead of the IQ. And so back when he spoke this lecture, I don't think they probably didn't have the concept of an EQ, which is actually something that's discussed, emotional quotient. And so they have that now. They discuss that in psychology, where someone has a wonderful propensity for being connected to another human, to being able to read a room, to being able to listen, to being able to connect. And that's a really beautiful gift. That's as much of a gift as intelligence. That's as much of a gift as being a great, be great at sports. You know, there's a lot of many beautiful blessings. And one of those things is being truly connected with the emotions and the heart. And so this chapter is Holmes just really talking about that, and how he uses the example of the study that was done in the 1930s during the Great Depression, and why people were let go. And of course, you know, there's a lot more than just he didn't get along with his colleagues. You know, there was the banks and the stock market. We're not going to get into that. But I think that there certainly is an aspect of that, of how well can a human being be around other human beings. And that comes from, I think, us, from the core of us being very socially animals, right? You know, socializing is a huge part of who we are as human beings. And I think that for some people, it's trickier than others. It can be trickier than others. And I think that affirmative prayer can be something that's a gift that can help us grow. Much like, you know, if you add a certain kind of soil or nutrients to a plant, it helps it grow stronger. I think that affirmative prayer can really help us grow our skills. And I think that the beautiful way of expressing it is Holmes basically says, use it to express the God self. And when you focus on aspects of God, these things can grow within you and make you even more of a personable human being. And there's, I love, and I know that Dr. Joseph Murphy also uses the quote. One second, let me find it, because I want to quote it correctly. Okay, it's the Philippians. I love this quote. Whatsoever things are true, honest, just, pure, lovely, of good report, if there be any virtue and there be any praise, think on these things. So when someone is like, oh, what are the aspects of God that you should focus on? I always go back to that Philippians. Honest, just, pure, lovely, of good report, of any virtue. And these are the things that you can focus on to start to create and cultivate, I would consider it, more happiness within oneself, or even just a sturdier base, sturdier roots. You can start to cultivate this within yourself, and then that will further shine on other people and in your interactions with others. And I often say, when I do these talks, something happens within the week that connects with it. And so I'm reading a historical fiction novel, and the father in this novel tends to be very maudlin, you know, very melancholy, very much sort of just, oh, woe is me, my life is meant to be miserable, blah, 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 blah. And his daughter in the book is like, come on, Dad, get it together. You know, this day is our day to take and make as we will create this day. And so that's an example of when I think affirmative prayer and a real change of point of view could help someone. Because certainly there's that sometimes we wake up and there is hard times and there's deep depression and there's rough days with stress, right? But I'm thirsty today, I'm sorry. That is an instance in when I think someone could say, okay, it's a rough day, it's a hard day. But then later in the novel, for example, he looks outside and he says, oh, I could, they've moved houses. And he said, I could grow a garden there. That's something special. That's something slight, even slight. You can start to look at the lovely things and sort of maybe change a little bit. I remember myself when I was having a very stressful time in my life due to some personal things. I woke up one morning extremely depressed, and I said, you know, I was listening to a particular podcast at that time, and it made me laugh. And I said, you know what? It might be a rough day, but I get to listen to my favorite podcast today. So even in really, really, really dark moments, try and find something that's just pure lovely of good rapport, even if it's the tiniest thing. They could be a building block to slowly feeling better, to building up oneself and the roots and the base of oneself versus just sort of wallowing, if you will. And when you slowly start to even do the tiniest little things within oneself, I truly believe, much like a plant that will grow, it'll stretch, it'll be beautiful, it'll be shining to others. And that's where that appealing comes in, right? That's where someone looks at you and says, wow, so and so really is really quite optimistic, or I enjoy having a conversation with so and so. And that's because the base within you is looking toward lovely things and the concept of God. And then I wanted to end the talk with examples, because he talks about, he lists toward the beginning of the chapter, like different examples and sections of like how a good focus can manifest in the life. And so I wanted to give some examples. Social, you know, being around other people. And this example I'm going to give it's a personal one. I was a very, very shy, I mean cripplingly shy, child and young adult. And I went to university and I majored in communication. And I did this partly because I wanted to try. I said, this is going to be hard as can be. But if I force myself and I push myself, I really think I can change a lot of my life. And it was a lot of nights of crying. It was giving presentations and public speaking and literally shaking and having to hold on to the lectern because I was shaking so hard. It was hours of practicing a presentation or a debate in front of the mirror, practicing just talking. And I came out the other end of it fully transformed. Like, truly, I could say that I'm a completely, completely different person. And I'm very proud of myself for going through that hard time and focusing on what a positive outcome it's going to be. And it really changed who I am, not only professionally, but I can go into a party and introduce myself and make, you know, decent small talk and then expand it to more than small talk. And it's really made a difference. And I've even cultivated it differently. In my 20s, I maybe went too outgoing. So now that I'm in my 30s, I'm able to sort of maybe take it down a little notch or two, you know. And it's just a beautiful example of how one can prune oneself, if we want to go with the plant metaphor, and continue to change our experience and how we want to present and grow ourselves. So that was a beautiful example of socially, I was really able to change who I was by focusing and saying, I can do this. Again, sometimes you have to take physical action. You have to do the hard work. But I stayed focused on my goal, right? I knew that there was going to be a change, and there was a change. And that was a wonderful change for my social life and making connections. And I made, you know, such good connections at school. I got internship opportunities. I did well in interviews. So opportunities came up from this. It was really a blessing. And the next thing Holm talks about is the physical. And I will forever go to my favorite example, again, from The Secret DVD from 2007, 2006. A woman was interviewed. And it was interesting because she was not, a lot of the DVD focuses on philosophical thinkers or divine science practitioners or reverends. And she was just a normal woman. And she had been diagnosed with breast cancer, and they showed her scan. There were multiple tumors. And she just said, I just, again, sat there and decided, again, there's that decision, right? I made the decision to study and become more of a social person, to work through my shyness. This woman sat down and decided, no, I'm not going to be this sick. And she said, instead, every day I would watch funny movies. I would cuddle with my husband. I would give myself fresh flowers. I would eat healthy. And every day, multiple times a day, she would simply say, thank you for my healing. Multiple times a day. And this reminds me of Dr. Joseph Murphy. He talks about someone he spoke with who was a just a woman who had kids. And when her boys were at school, she would be cleaning the house, and she would vacuum or sweep. And she would create a song with her affirmation, and she would sing it around the house. And so this woman from The Secret DVD kind of did the same. She would just walk around the house and just repeat to herself, like almost a mantra, a lullaby, thank you for my healing. And within 3 months, no medication, no chemo, her scan was completely clear, fully clear. And again, you know, she chose and decided, I'm not going to be this sick. And she chose and decided to stick with her affirmation and to laugh and to cuddle and to enjoy fresh flowers and eat healthy. You know, that's all a part of it. Again, we live in physical bodies. We have to often take physical action. And within 3 months, her scan was completely clear. So that's a beautiful example of the physical and how working with God self and God can bring beautiful physical results. And then Holmes talks next about financial, which I know is a huge thing right now because the 3D is telling us a lot about how rough the world is right now, right? And so what came to me was Dr. Joseph Murphy tells a story. He was a pharmacist. He trained as a pharmacist and actually served as a pharmacist in World War II. And so he would often speak with a lot of his clients, and people that he worked with were pharmacists as well. And he said, I once spoke with a gentleman who was a pharmacist, and he owned his own pharmacy, as was much more common back in the day, mom and pop, you know, drugstores. And he said, this gentleman was just having a hard time financially. Like the right people weren't stopping in. He wasn't getting enough clientele. And he said, one day the gentleman was in his drugstore and it was pouring rain. And he looked outside and he said, suddenly it just hit me that the Bible talks about how God is everywhere and plentiful and beautiful. And he said, it just struck me that God's finances and money is like the rain outside. It's a downpour and it's constant. And so every time this man started to have second thoughts or worries about money, He remembered that rainstorm, and he just continued to remind himself and reprogram his brain every time he went from worrying, he'd think about the rain. And sure enough, more clients came in, more sales were made, he was able to keep his business open. That's another wonderful example of making the decision, changing that point of view. And the next is spiritual. And I was trying to think of how to address this, because initially a part of me wanted to be like, well, sort of point fingers at certain points of view. And I said, that's not right. That's not good. That's not what God would do. God wouldn't point fingers, right? So I wanted to instead emphasize the importance of, even if you don't label it God, the beauty of noticing beauty, the beauty of walking outside, and I am just tickled pink to see the daffodils, and I love cherry blossoms, so it's been a joy to see the cherry blossoms. It's been a joy to hear the birds singing again in the morning. Or if you drive out one day and you happen to notice that a car is switching lanes and you almost missed it and you were protected, that's a blessing. You were protected. If you get a decent tax refund this season, that's a blessing. Little things that, even if you don't want to label it God or religion, that's okay. But noticing there are small things in the everyday, and the big things too. That's spirituality. That's appreciation. That brings a peace. And that could be an example of a spiritual growth and spiritual decision. Start to look at things differently. So I wanted to end the chapter on that, just giving some examples from the book categories that he gives. And I hope that these things, this conversation, will give you all a little something to chew on, to think about, and maybe how you might change your own point of view for the new season, for the season of resurrection, if you will. Thank you all so much. And we'll do a little meditation when we come back.